What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
He's an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt!
Don't make me take off my belt!
We're not. Over to you, Bobby. Can the leader of your football team be socially awkward? We might be about to find out. If that's the case. Here in Below the Belt. I know that's the perception. The thought has been Kellen Moore, and I think a lot of it develops from quiet. Like, in general, you don't hear from him very often. When you see his press conferences, you see, man, looks a little robotic. But even still, people knew Jason Garrett had an edge about him and a way about him because they would see all or nothing, or they would see, you know, those sort of looks at Jason Garrett. You go, oh, he's clearly got a little bit of, you know, an edge to him that he doesn't share with us. Hard Knocks a couple years ago, Kellen Moore seemed about like what you thought Kellen Moore was like. Yeah. Where it was like, you know, a little quieter and some moments where you're like, man, he seems...
I watched some mic'd up Chargers practice with him, and I was getting ready to break out some s'mores. That's how edgy I felt. I was going to roast some marshmallows with old Kellen, drink some hot chocolate.
He's got some Boy Scout feel to him,
yeah,
for sure. But they have leadership badges in what the Boy Scouts,
Lombardi,
I think.
What did Michael Lombardi insult him? What did he call him, the paper boy?
The joystick, right?
The joystick.
The joystick, which, before we get to the actual aspect of his leadership and his ability to be a leader potentially in the locker room, I will say that asking around to people about the whole little, like, well, he's running the ball now, he threw the ball a ton here in Dallas, the common thought I got was, okay, when you hear people say Kellen just wants to run plays, he doesn't have a vision, he does this or that,
doesn't manage the game,
a big pushback I got was like, that looks like that to people because Kellen's not married to anything other than what's successful. Like, Kellen's going to lean into whatever the personnel says they have, whatever the trends say that they're successful. That's what Kellen's going to do. So somebody goes, oh, it doesn't look like a big philosophy. It's like, well, it's because his philosophy is we're going to move the ball as effectively as we can, however that is. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, just to update, they interviewed Kellen and Saleh already. Supposed to be Leslie Frazier today. There's rumors of Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, even though Schefter says there's no way Ben Johnson is happening here. And Rappaport says there has been no and has been no Deion interview done or scheduled. Very, very weird.
And it may be because they already have their candidate in mind and that they're just trying to get through the process at this point. And Kellen Moore might be that guy. I think he is the odds-on favorite. Everybody here, I think we all agree at this point, right? That's the likeliest guy.
That's what it feels like. Mm-hmm.
It feels like that's where things are heading. So I wanted to find out a little bit about the very fair question that exists about what kind of a leader could he be? Can he command a locker room? Because I don't know that. I think he's a good play caller. I think there are things about him that I would trust as a head coach, but I guess I don't totally know how players would respond to him or how people think he does. So on Thursday and Friday, I had solicited the opinions of six different people who have experience with Kellen Moore. So these are people who have either played with Kellen, they played for Kellen, or they've coached with Kellen.
Oh.
So it's a lot of different variety here and a lot of different perspectives on him. Of the six people that I reached out to, I already knew one of them was pretty strongly pro Kellen Moore. So I anticipated I was going to hear good things on that front. The other ones, I didn't know exactly how they were going to give me feedback on him. But I decided to ask them just some questions about, all right, how does he command a locker room? What kind of a leader can he be? Can he be in control of things? And everyone that I spoke with agreed that they thought he was, they didn't think it was a concern. They don't think it's his strong, some people didn't think it was his strongest trait, that he's, oh man, that's like the top thing that I would highlight with him. But everybody agreed that he's capable of leading a locker room that I spoke with. Now, I'll also say this. It's possible I was talking to the six most pro Kellen Moore people and I didn't know. I mean, I don't know. I could be talking to...
You didn't know and talking to them.
One of them I knew in advance,
yeah,
how they felt about him. But the others, I was just reaching out. I had never asked him about Kellen before. So I asked them and got some opinions on Kellen Moore here. One of the things that was pointed out to me, and I had I had known that he had, this was his education background. I did not know this is why. So he got his degree in communications and he got his master's in kinesiology. And those were both apparently done. And I looked this up after. Those were done like specifically because he wanted to be a coach. Like that's why he got his education.
What the hell is kinesiology, by the way?
It's the study of exercise science,
movements and things like that. Physical movements. So communications was an emphasis on. Wow. And he, apparently what his original master's was going to be in, the program went away at Boise State. And so then he flipped over to kinesiology as well. I can get some stuff here from that. But his entire education at Boise State was with the thought process in mind that he wanted to be a head coach. So he's worked towards this. But these were some of the things that reported
out to me. Making his playbooks as a child.
And I had mentioned a little bit of this on, and he actually did. Apparently in second grade, he would go up on the whiteboard at show and tell and draw plays. He is a, I had mentioned this on Friday, but this is some of the feedback that I got specifically. He's a career quarterback. He's had to lead huddles for years. And that included, he called all of his high school's plays the last 2 years that he was the quarterback. So it wasn't just he's commanding the huddle. He's telling everybody what to do and getting them on board. His dad is a coach. He comes from a coaching family. Like, that's his background.
And part of Jory Epstein's piece last week on Jerry maybe not wanting to lose his white Sean Payton whale again, no pun intended, when asked about how close to the vest Kellen's public persona was, Dak once smiled and said he loved that Moore did not show reporters the chops that endeared him to players. The executive who interviewed Kellen believed while extroversion and strength of presence help check the leader of men box, teams seek, they're not the only route to motivation. Quote, presence does not have to be huge. As long as you're able to get a team motivated to play or ready to play in the big games.
So, yeah, basically what I was told is Kellen wouldn't have been able to have success leading huddles in high school, in college, where he was the winningest quarterback in college history, wouldn't have been able to make a six-year career in the NFL hanging around the you know, a quarterback room, coach the position, had success as a coordinator. Those things wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have that kind of statistical success in Dallas and Philly if you didn't have players who were willing to follow his lead. Had resistance, it wouldn't occur. So somebody's saying, look, if you don't believe testament, just look at the results and say that's not likely to have people following them and have that kind of success consistently.
Ideally, would you rather a coach?
I could counter back a Ryan Leaf. I could counter back and say Ryan Leaf led high school and college huddles and he was a complete train wreck. Like, just because you are leading a huddle doesn't mean you have those traits.
I mean, Ryan couldn't even lead his own life. Like, he had his own demons that he was battling.
But Ryan was also a physical specimen. Like, Kellen was not. Kellen has to fight. And that's the point that was brought up, was like, Kellen had to fight for everything. If there was anything where he doesn't get along with offensive players or anything, that would be an issue. It would have set him back pretty quick.
Now, like, you know, you can have motivation or you can have preparation from the head coach, right? Now, ideally, you want both.
Yeah.
Like, that's the goal. You're trying to find that. You know, so, like, now it's like, okay, well, if we don't have both, like, we know that Ben Johnson will be prepared.
Yeah.
We have no idea how he motivates.
Yeah.
Two names came up when I was asking about, all right, well, what about, like, leading a locker and his, you know, personality, things like that. Two different names came up where people said, this person is not a rah-rah individual. This person is not, and I think one of these you're going to push back against because he is very charismatic. But the names that came up, they said, Kevin O'Connell's not a big rah-rah guy on the surface. Tony Dungy was never a big rah-rah guy on the surface. They were both considered strong leaders that people got behind and followed.
Okay.
So they said in terms of being a leader of men and commanding a locker room, the way that Kellen does it, Kellen's strength is not the Ron Rivera, Dan Campbell, you know, motivate you kind of thing. They say his ability to command a locker room is almost that of an evangelist. So they say that he creates a clear, concise vision of this is how we're going to be successful, and then he's able to make it a compelling and accessible idea to players that then they believe it, and when they believe it, it becomes their own motivation almost. Like, well, this is just my belief in how football is supposed to be played. Kellen has sold me on this idea. Kellen has sold me on this is why we run these routes. This is why we do this. This is why we do that. Again, when you look at strife and tension, Dak was very publicly willing to disagree with Mike McCarthy on option routes and different things like that. A lot of that came from philosophy that Kellen had convinced Dak was this is what we do. Like, he clearly had Dak leading behind him. They said that also assistants would probably be enforcers and disciplinarians of the vision. that you've got a vision and get people to buy in, and you're a teacher and you're an evangelist, and then you have middle management, essentially, that's making sure everybody's staying on task and doing what they're supposed to do. It was also suggested that Kellen hasn't come close to reaching his potential as a coach because of the environments that he's been forced to work in as a subordinate. So they said everywhere he's been as a coordinator, 2019, it was Jason Garrett's contract year. It was considered a very toxic, unstable environment. 2020 to 2022, they had success here in Dallas, but he and Mike McCarthy did not get along for the entire 3 years that he was here. That's consistently uncomfortable and combative. 2023 season, Chargers had a really bad environment with Brandon Staley in his last year that had checked out. And then when you look at Philadelphia, the Eagles are kind of widely thought of as one of the most combustible locker room potentials that exists in the NFL, that it could go either way.
Oh, that's a pressure cooker.
And so it was like, look, Kellen's had success in really uncomfortable situations his entire career, and you don't get that without being able to get people on the same page in difficult circumstances. And we don't know what it looks like when some of that drama is cut out.
I mean, look, if you paid attention to Boise at all in college, like, it was always pretty well known, like, this guy is like on that Chad Pennington. A lot of people compared him to Chad Pennington. Not a great arm, but like a super mind. I mean, there's no doubt that he's a smart guy, like that he's going
to
be.
The Kevin O'Connell comparison is intriguing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy.
I mean, nobody knew anything about him either.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely nothing. By the way, I had heard over the weekend that the Cowboys are in love with Brian Schottenheimer. I don't know whether that means he's the head coach or just someone that would have a ton of offensive control moving forward. That's right, Brian Schottenheimer, and that Al Harris was probably gone.
Yeah, and I think that it's when you look at Schottenheimer makes sense to me just from the perspective of, again, if we're talking about culture and that's something that's really important to them, that's where Schottenheimer gets a lot of high marks. He's somebody who's considered a really effective communicator that players really like and feel like he takes a personal investment in them, but also will get in their face a little bit and will demand discipline and get on top of them for that. When we look at the assistant coaches and the idea of if they're the ones that are going to do the enforcement here, if Kellen's big push as a leader is more just, think of it again, as somebody said, they said it was almost evangelist, where you've got a pastor maybe who... They're not considered there may not be a pastor who's a very strong personality or anything else, but they get people with the way that they communicate, the ideas and the different things, and they have a bunch of parishioners who go, I'm going to follow you. It was that sort of thing that was painted to me. In terms of the discipline, if you are talking about Doug Nussmeier comes here, Nussmeier's a disciplinarian, and he's somebody who consistently was thought of as, that's the guy who can get in Dak's face and they can have it out and have respect for each other. There's a lot of buzz about Witten. If Jason Witten gets here, that's a disciplinarian kind of guy. We've heard some buzz potentially about Tashard Choice as a running backs coach. Choice, again, disciplinarian, regimented, very optimistic, positive guy, but that's the kind of style that he uses. And if Eberflus ends up here as the defensive coordinator, again, another guy who that was what he was. He was considered kind of a hard ass at times. And so I think the vision here in Dallas for the Joneses would be Kellen will get people to buy into the ideas. He will effectively sell the ideas that they become self-motivated by those. And then any sort of discipline is handled within position groups with the position coaches and the coordinators.
Well done, Bobby Belt, with a weekend research project here on your home of America's team. It's the Monday edition of Sean and RJ. This is going to be the RJ Choppy Power Hour.
Oh,
we're gonna
all right.
We're going to pick the national championship, play tonight at 9:20. But RJ gives his recap of all the NFL games this weekend. He says, stop giving Dan Quinn all this credit. Kelsey's not the GOAT. And how much did gamblers actually get screwed? The RJ Choppy Football Power Hour starts right after this.